You're listening to The Weird Sisters, Harry Potter Reread, Episode 64. On today's show, we discuss Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, Chapters 28, 29, and 30. Hello and welcome to The Weird Sisters. I'm Danielle.
And I'm Allison.
Okay, let's just go. We got stuff to do.
Things are happening.
Yes, things are happening. Last time, we got off the dragon last chapter and decided we needed to go to Hogwarts.
Yes, because that's where we know confirmed final location.
Yes. So the missing mirror, we apparate into Hogsmeade and things start going crazy.
Yeah, there's wailing. I don't quite understand.
A caterwauling charm.
Yes.
Death Eaters not only know someone is there, but presume that it's Harry.
Well, they got the tip off.
Yeah.
Right.
They've been warned.
Yeah. Dementors.
Yes. So they set off the Dementors on him because he's hidden under the cloak, which then he has to use a Patronus. Which is not exactly a stealthy maneuver.
Right. But then they were rescued.
By a strange man.
You just don't ask questions at that point.
No. Pulled into the Hog's Head. But Harry, like, realizes all on his own who it is.
Well, not right away.
Yeah, he recognizes the eye. And then says, you're Aberforth.
Well, okay. But he, like, gets him out of a jam first.
Okay, well, yes.
From the window.
Yeah. Because Aberforth, when the what are they called?
Death Eaters. When the
Death Eaters show up, Aberforth says, you idiots, that wasn't a stag, that was a goat. Which is my Patronus.
Well, and it's not a Harry Potter alarm, but apparently no one can be outside after curfew, and it sets off an alarm.
Yeah. So he just gets all cranky old man with them and essentially scares them into backing off, that they've made a mistake, and if they go summon the Dark Lord for him and his cat, that it's not going to go well for them.
Yeah. How does he get the mirror again? Oh, he bought it off of...
Yeah. He bought it off of Mundungus.
And then Dumbledore told him what it was. So we're just buying that this is a happy accident?
Yeah, I was a little confused as to the order of that. I guess that's the only way it really makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Unless they were just chit-chatting brotherly and he mentions the mirror... And he gets suspicious. He knows Mundungus. I suppose that's possible.
Do they chit-chat brotherly?
Well, I don't imagine it, but they do have some communication. I don't think they have tea in a congenial manner, but...
I don't know. I don't think that's really how it was portrayed. Which is then... They are saved by him by accident.
Well, Harry needs some happy accidents. So he's been keeping an eye out on them. Haha, an eye. That's funny.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he sent Dobby.
Yeah, though I'm still not sure how he really knows Dobby.
Well, I think we have to assume that they have some communication.
Dobby?
Well, Dumbledore and Aberforth.
Okay, but... And he just brings Dobby along?
I don't know. Maybe... I don't know. I can't think up of a good reason for you.
Okay.
But perhaps he's mentioned Dobby. During the retelling the adventures of Harry Potter to Aberforth or something. Yeah. Okay, but then, so once we realize that, oh, this is Aberforth, the brother that we've never really heard of before this book, then he has some words about Dumbledore.
Well, he tells Harry to leave and to go hide. Like, yeah. You're in danger, you need to save yourself. And Harry's being all Harry, like, no, no, I have to follow this plan that I cannot tell you about, that Dumbledore has given me, so I'm gonna go for it.
Yeah, but Aberforth is, he's got some lines. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's starting on 561. He says, my brother Albus wanted a lot of things, and people had a habit of getting hurt while he was, while carrying out his grand plans. Forget my brother and his clever schemes. He's gone where none of this can hurt him, and you don't owe him anything.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of true.
Well, I mean, is Harry doing it because he owes Dumbledore?
No, I think that's, yes. I think when he eventually sort of says something back, I think that's kind of along the lines that he's thinking, right? But he also says, you know, Harry's trying to say, well, you know, there's something important I need to do and only I can do it. And Aberforth's like, nice job, I hope. Pleasant. Easy. The sort of thing you'd expect an unqualified wizard kid to be able to do without overstretching themselves. Just like that. Then Aberforth also expresses his, what's the right word? General pessimism.
About the state of things?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, he doesn't have a lot of hope because he was in the Order the first time. And he says, well, no, I'm not really in the Order anymore because we've lost. And the best thing you could do is to sort of try and save yourself. But there's no greater good anymore. There's no saving what they've all established. But he does, like,
yeah.
I mean, I don't think Harry does a great job of defending himself until maybe kind of right at the end, where it's like, actually sometimes it's worth putting yourself at risk, you know, to have that greater good, which is a bad phrase given the context.
Yeah.
But before, it's like Aberforth is calling out all of those questions that Harry has and the reader has, and he's like, yeah, well, it's secret and I have to.
Yeah, well, speaking of it's secret, Harry says that basically it's got to be me. Dumbledore explained everything, and then he goes, oh, did he now? And did he tell you everything? Was he honest with you? Yeah. And then he has this line that he learned secrecy and lies from his mother.
Yeah, that's a little uncomfortable.
But when we get into the story, we sort of see what they're talking about, right?
Yeah. I mean, but Aberforth seems to, he names it all really well, but he doesn't have the sort of grand, trusting vision of his brother that Harry and others have.
Yeah. The shine has rubbed off of Dumbledore long ago. Okay, but let's talk about the greater good.
Okay.
I mean, because you're right, like, Dumbledore got wrapped up in this the greater good thing with Grindelwald that was evil. Mm-hmm. Right? And often the greater good now is used to do terrible things to people.
Yeah, but that's not what the fight is right now. Well,
yeah, but I think it's two sides of the same coin, though, right?
Yeah.
Because we question Dumbledore, like, what are you doing? Like, or even if you know what you're doing, isn't what you're doing to Harry really for the greater good? It's like sacrificing Harry.
Yes.
And I think that's kind of unquestionably true.
That he believes in the greater good?
Well, that he's sort of doing for the greater good again with Harry. Not that he doesn't care about Harry, he does.
Though it's... The greater good has changed, though.
Yeah.
Right, so there's the greater wizarding good of promoting non-secrecy and all that, which has now become, like, side of Voldemort, greater good, pure blood, all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So Dumbledore's obviously not supporting that, but yes, for the greater good of all peoples, Harry Potter might have to die.
Yeah. And I'm not saying this to say that Dumbledore's incorrect in this. I'm just saying it's kind of the same thing, and in one situation it's morally reprehensible, and in another it's perhaps not. And like you said, Harry pretty much names this himself.
Yeah. I mean, I think Harry would have... So if it wasn't, I, Harry Potter, alone have to go forth and single-handedly defeat Lord Voldemort or die trying, I think he would still have that we have to put ourselves out there even if we're losing... Even if it might cause harm to ourselves. Like, Brady's got that Gryffindor-ness in him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he kind of eventually... Like, he can't argue with Aberforth that, you know, he's not making some sort of sacrifice.
Well, and to that, no, like, he may not quite know... all of the secrets are the whole plan, but at this point he knows enough and has accepted that and taken it on and is going forth.
Yeah. So, like, a few chapters ago when we have, you know, him digging the grave and deciding who he's going to talk to first, that's sort of his ultimate acceptance of... I mean, not that he had no agency before, but he's making a very clear choice against things that he does not necessarily fully understand that, no, this is what I am going to do now.
And it's accepting, like, this was part of the mission from a Dumbledore he's now questioning. Then there's the whole Hallows things, which has an allure, but no, I'm going to go down this terrible road.
Yeah. Okay, but first, this is then our first, like, explain-a-thon of our ending chapters, where Aberforth tells the story of Ariana.
That basically some kids tortured her because she was doing magic. Yes.
Some muggle boys.
Did unspeakable she was very things, young. Who knows? So that's what got their dad in trouble, because he went after them.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, she wouldn't do magic, basically. But, okay, so isn't after the... What's the movie? The Fantastic Beasts? She's... What is that term? She's one of... Oh. Isn't that how it was kind of... Was that even said, or was that just what people decided... That she was one of those things where, like, you try and suppress your magic, but it's sort of a dismembered magical being.
Yeah, I have a hard time imagining, you know, like her outburst as, you know, a big black cloud of terrifyingness, mm-hmm. like in the movie, but it's certainly a similar idea.
I feel like this is confirmed. I mean, well, and in Fantastic Beasts, that kid, I mean, that was a special, like, that was the most powerful, most developed, most autonomous, whatever that term is. And so,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure she is supposed to be like that, but it's just not as extreme.
Yeah, I don't know that it quite fits exactly because... Ah. Because she's... Well, he's not crazy.
Kinda.
I guess... I imagine Ariana's described as half mad.
But it's, like, because she can't... when she loses control, then that's when it comes out, and that's the crazy side.
Yeah. I imagine her as sort of... like, permanently mentally disabled after this. Generally in a, you know, nice, sweet manner, and occasionally not when she gets upset. Because they talk about Aberforth being able to get her to eat, uh-huh. and, you know, I don't know.
All right, I'm looking up, there's all these theories about what I'm saying.
Well, I totally get it. I just don't think the portrayals in the book and the movie match exactly. But that's because the portrayal in the movie
was, like, the extreme pinnacle example.
Okay. All right. What is the word, then, if you're looking this up?
I'm trying to find at least the word. Obscurial.
Okay.
They tried to suppress the magic out of fear... but that sometimes lead to an obscurious, the dark cloud of destruction. The symptoms and description of Ariana's affliction fits the diagnosis of an obscurial perfectly. I would explain why they were afraid of her being discovered. So maybe it's not confirmed, but...
Certainly a reasonable conclusion to draw. I just wonder how firm that Fantastic Beast lore was when this part was written. It seems a little too distant for it to have been sort of set in stone at that point.
Yeah, but she is an impressive planner.
Yes, that's true.
And come back around her.
Yeah.
Maybe she didn't have a name for it.
Yeah.
But it was already, like, a... notion that this could be a thing, mm-hmm. right? Where through fear and suppression, it becomes an uncontrolled force.
Yeah. And so her mother they move. She spends a lot of time and energy keeping her under control and quiet.
Yeah. So Ariana killed her mother, and you're telling me it's not like this thing?
Okay, yes, but I don't get the impression she murdered her.
No, but that's not what is going on.
Like, there was a bad day, and it was an accident, right?
Right, and that goes, like, it's uncontrollable. You're giving more agency to the creepy guy in Fantastic Beasts than he had.
Okay. Yeah, so at 14, she kills her mother.
Yes.
Which then that's when... Dumbledore has to cancel his grand plan, comes home, and then finds his buddy Grindelwald.
Though Aberforth volunteered to care for his sister.
Mm-hmm.
But Dumbledore said, you should stay in school.
Stay in school, kids.
Yeah, so Aberforth is not impressed because Dumbledore is not. Be very conscientious. He's a little distracted.
Yeah. And he thinks that they're going to drag her on this stupid world tour they have planned.
Yeah. So he confronts him. about what his plan is.
Mm-hmm. And Grindelwald is there.
And decides to torture him.
Yeah, there's a nice Crucio for your brother there.
Yeah, I kind of forgot that part.
Yeah. So then, you know, the spells are flying. And in the fray, Ariana dies.
Well, she had also, like, she had come, like, was somehow part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And losing control and...
Yeah.
Who knows quite what happened.
Well, no one knows, really.
Yeah.
And, I mean, and Aberforth says something about how, you know, well, then Dumbledore was free of his sister and he could go on to be his great fancy self.
Like, maybe it was a happy accident for him.
Yeah. But then Harry recalls that, you know, no, he wasn't free. I understand what he saw when he was drinking the potion now.
Yeah, because what does he say about don't hurt them? So that, then he's pleading with Grindelwald.
Mm-hmm.
But yet they're all fighting.
Well, I imagine he's just back in that headspace. I don't think that's what he was saying necessarily when it was actually happening. He's just being forced to relive it. So finally we've wore Aberforth down that we're really going ahead with this plan and we're gallant and we don't care what you say, Aberforth. So are you going to help or not?
Mm-hmm. Which he does.
Yeah. The portrait of Ariana goes away and comes back with a live person.
Neville.
Neville!
He's there.
Hooray!
The next two chapters are in some ways, like, really lovely.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, right before all the terrible things happen. And, like, kind of... all these old characters are intentionally brought back or folks we haven't seen. And there's sort of this swelling, you know, we were alone and camping and angry and no plan. Now there's a plan and it's coming to fruition. Sure, there's some danger out there, but like we're all uplifted by all the people and
yeah,
no one's died yet.
Yes. And Neville is awesome.
Yeah, and he's been waging the rebellion at Hogwarts.
Yeah, like, he's running his mouth at all the, you know, all the lesson plans that are now going on in Hogwarts. Because he says that, you know, it helps when people stand up to them. It gives them all hope, and that's something that he noticed when Harry would say things to Umbridge.
Yeah. Also, there's really I mean, you get just little snippets of, like, teachers are torturing students are torturing each other, like, they kidnap people. Mm-hmm. It's really not pleasant.
Yeah. Crucio is just a thing that happens all the time now.
Yeah.
The Defense Against the Dark Arts is just the dark arts.
Yeah. Well, the best part is when they go to kidnap Gran, but she gets the best of them.
Yes. Yeah, so to make... because Neville's pure blood, so he's kind of been getting away with this. I mean, he's been punished, but...
Mm-hmm.
But they decide, oh, to control this Neville Longbottom, we're going to kidnap his grandmother, and that does not go well.
No. So they're living up to the family name.
Mm-hmm. So after that, Neville decides that he needs to hide. And he hides in the Room of Requirement, initially just him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so this then explains the passageway from the portrait to Hogwarts.
That it was created just for him?
Yeah, he said the passageway opened up when he got hungry.
And that's how he met Aberforth.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, Aberforth has been helping the cause. Mm-hmm.
He's not quite as crusty as he says.
Yeah, he's just not out there on the front lines.
Yeah. But then, you know, more people start showing up.
Yeah, because they've been basically getting the old DA back together and using those coins. And mm-hmm. Luna's there and Dean comes.
Yeah. Fred and George and Cho, even, much to Ginny's delight.
Yes.
But in the meantime, there is a brief vision of Voldemort. He's at the shack. There is no ring.
Yeah. He's a little angry.
Yes.
But then this... So they're in, like, and all these people are there, you know, and they've all been... a lot. Most of them have been at Hogwarts that are now in hiding at Hogwarts. Mm-hmm. And they're like, Harry's back. He's here to save us, to almost, like, take down... the, I don't know, who's in charge at Hogwarts? Snape and all of them?
Snape and the Carrows, yeah. To reclaim
Hogwarts.
Yeah.
And they're ready to fight. They're ready to go with Harry's plan. One, Harry doesn't have a plan. But two, like from the beginning of this, when he refuses to tell anyone, and I don't feel like Dumbledore really told him that that has to be so secret. And here he is, like, again, refusing to let anyone help him. And why? Yeah. Like, why? Okay, he sort of, eventually, like, he makes a little bit of a concession. But I just don't understand this.
At this point, Voldemort knows that he knows about the Horcruxes. If you die, you should just, like, everyone should know. FYI, there's these Horcruxes, and they need to be destroyed before you can kill Voldemort.
Yeah, what is one in maintaining secrecy?
I don't think anything. And that's, well, and I mean, Hermione sort of brings this up, and he's, you know, is like, you don't have to tell them everything, but you also don't have to do everything alone. And he eventually tells them that, you know, they need something of Ravenclaw's when he recalls, like, Aberforth's line about Dumbledore and secrets and lies. And he's, like, has this moment of, am I doing the secrets and lies that Dumbledore was maybe a little too fond of?
Well, I, yeah.
Yes, I think.
I don't get it. Like, he's trying to protect other people, I guess, is part of it.
Yeah. I mean, and with Dumbledore, it's also, like, it's, I'm not, a control thing doesn't sound quite right, but it's like, I'm the smart dude. I've got a plan. I know some things. And I'm just going to keep my little ducks right here and be in control.
All in due course. It's very orchestrated.
Yeah. And Harry's kind of thing, like, I'm the chosen one. I know some secret Dumbledore things, and I'm going to keep all my little ducks in a row.
Yeah, or, like, because he knows it has to be him. He doesn't want other people trying to help wrong. I don't know. I just still really struggle to understand the secrecy of Harry more than Dumbledore.
Well, I think you're supposed to question it and see it as perhaps a flaw. Just like how, remember in the early books, how we never told the teachers anything. This is just an extension of that.
Oh yeah, terrible things are happening. Don't worry, I'm gonna go get it.
So then it's decided, no one knows anything about the diadem, but Cho suggests that, well, she's wearing the diadem in a statue in Ravenclaw Tower. I can take you to see it if you want, and that's pretty much the only idea they have. Yeah,
it's a terrible idea, for one. Also, Ginny decides that he shouldn't go with Cho. He should go with Luna.
He should go with Luna. Yeah. Well, and I think when I read this the first time, I assumed the diadem would, like, be secretly hidden in the statue or something.
No.
Not true.
Well, and it's like, I mean, the diadem is the best bet given our information, but apparently it's been unseen for centuries.
So Luna and Harry, under the cloak, go up to Ravenclaw Tower, and they pretty much bust in, and there's a Caro there.
You know, they smartly answer the riddle. We get to see the common room of Ravenclaw. Like, we don't, you know, we were never there before.
Okay, that's true. Now, would you have answered the riddle correctly?
I thought her answer was very well put.
It's essentially which came first, the chicken or the egg.
And a circle is never ending, has no start and no beginning.
Yes. Can't you just imagine Luna saying that in her airy voice?
Yes. No, don't worry. I was noticing where I could have been.
Ah.
Yeah, it was very bright. And there was a starry ceiling. It sounded lovely.
But could you handle the riddles?
Yes.
I hate riddles. They make me feel dumb.
Well, I think you would get smarter by doing them.
See, riddles to me, this is what I always say. Riddles are about being clever. And I think I'm smart enough, but I'm not clever.
Yeah, maybe that's why Hermione's in Gryffindor, because she's smart. But as not Luna clever. Would say, she's kind of closed-minded.
Yes. Oh, if Hermione was asked which came first, the chicken or the egg, she would delve into a biology question. Yes.
But yes, there's that the one Caro there expecting Harry Potter.
Yes. So they've also been tipped off that he's going to be there something about Ravenclaw. And she wastes no time and presses her dark mark.
Yeah. So Voldemort is coming.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other Caro is locked outside.
Yes. Boy Caro.
I don't know their names.
Yeah, well, Luna first stuns Lady Caro. And then Guy Caro's locked outside. But then we hear McGonagall. Yes,
this is what's great. Because, like, McGonagall's there and she's telling us who's boss.
Yes.
And she's very, like, clever but also demeaning at the same time.
Uh-huh. Yes. Oh. But she eventually answers the riddle and lets him in.
Well, and then Caro's coming up with some plan about how they'll blame the students because they'll be in trouble if they call the dark Lord Voldemort and Harry's not there, just like the Malfoys. Mm-hmm. So maybe we'll just blame that the students made her do it, because what does that matter?
Yeah. And then McGonagall's telling him off, basically. Mm-hmm. Calling him scum of the earth.
In a much more dignified way, though.
Oh, yes. And he responds by spitting in her face.
To where Cherry is so hairy in his response.
This is where the chivalry comes in.
Oh, my eyes. Like, sure.
Okay.
On one hand, it's great. You want Harry to be like that. On the other hand, you're like, you idiot.
Yeah, he rips off the cloak and crucios him.
Also, are we okay with this?
It is a bit like,
And then he's like, oh, I see what you mean. You have to really mean it. So therefore, he's enjoying
it. Yeah.
But it's under the guise of, like, he's so upset because they're awful to students and he's dishonoring McGonagall. So, right, it has a little bit of a higher original source, but yet, I don't know.
Yeah, I kind of have a little bit of a reaction to that, just because I think, like, okay, Harry's the hero and unforgivable curses are unforgivable, so I shouldn't expect him to do it. And he's failed before. Although he did it just Imperious someone. But I don't know, thinking about it, I think it's okay. Like he's not an angel or something.
Okay, but it's still torturing someone.
Well, yeah. But he really,
But
really
it's what,
hates him
but I mean,
for
isn't
good
this
reason.
what is supposed to keep our sides separate here of how you treat other people, right? He is the saver of Peter Pettigrew and all of that.
Yeah.
And how you react in those situations. You're not supposed to want to, maybe you're supposed to, maybe you feel it, but you don't act upon your desire to torture another person. And again, it's supposed to be all gallant. But just tie him up or something, knock him out, jelly leg him, all those others.
Punch him in the face would have had the same, like, chivalrous
Yeah,
response, I
and
feel like.
I could have lived with that more than I can with you torturing someone.
Yeah, okay, well then McGonagall instant, like, after it starts waking up,
Curious.
imperiouses him,
To
so.
and then tells him to like tie himself up. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Though obviously Imperius is the less evil one. I mean, you can use it for terrible evil things, but she is not long-term controlling a person for manipulative gain.
Yeah, I suppose imperiousing someone to tie themselves up versus tying them up yourself is not
Yeah.
functionally different. Well, obviously J.K. Rowling disagrees with you and thinks it's fine.
Okay.
Harry has now also seen Voldemort at the cave. There's no locket. He
Yeah.
is coming.
So he warns McGonagall. Of course, still won't tell her what the deal is. I'm on orders from Dumbledore.
She's got to be tired of taking his
I
crap,
mean, in
right?
this moment, it feels more of a rallying cry. Like, in, because I think was it at the end of last book after Dumbledore died, where she actually implored him to be like, what is going on and what do you know? Here, I don't think she's as annoyed. It's just like, this is what is happening, and we will do what we have to do.
She's already formulating a plan.
Yes. And it's great. Like, it's McGonagall being McGonagall.
And sort of while they're going down the hallway, some other professors show up.
The heads of houses that she summoned.
Oh, they are the heads of houses, aren't they?
Yes.
Okay. And then they run into our friend Snape.
Yeah, who was like lurking in the corner.
Bat-like.
Yeah, and he seems to know.
Because of the dark mark.
Oh, yes. That he's there.
This eventually leads to spells everywhere.
Yeah, crazy things. Fire and snakes, daggers.
Yeah. And then he jumps out the window and flies away.
Yes. So why does he run in this moment?
Well, he's decently outmatched, I would think. At least I don't think he can. I don't think he can win without killing them.
Okay. So now his plan is just to be on the run.
Well, okay, I'm. He's. There's probably. He's probably doing something which I cannot
Well, I
recall.
was like, how does he end up later in the Shrieking Shack?
He's doing. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what he's doing from this point on.
Yeah, my okay. Yeah.
We will find out.
Yes, very shortly.
But then sort of McGonagall's explaining this now to the heads of houses.
Yeah, they're going to get all the students together. They're sending the underage children to the Hogshead. Mm-hmm. But they're giving the older students the choice to fight if they want to. And they're doing all their fancy spells. McGonagall does the super awesome thing where all the suits of armor are there to protect their school, mm-hmm. to do their duty.
Yeah.
The music is swelling in the background. Also, she scolds Professor Slughorn, who's being so Professor Slughorn, like, I don't know, this might be dangerous. Yeah, she's not kidding around. You can leave if you want, but if you go against this, I will kill you. And and then the sick burn, it's how she has to decide. It's time for Slytherin to decide just what side it's on.
Yeah. And when we get, I think probably next episode, when, like, you know, the people are staying and stuff about Slytherin, mm-hmm. like... It's a little anti-Slytherin.
Don't they all get locked up in the dungeon?
What?
Is that just in the movie? Because it's like, turn Harry Potter over and then I won't kill you all. And the Slytherins are like, get Harry. And she's like, nope. Slytherins go to the dungeon.
I think she made them leave in the book. I definitely could be wrong, but I think I remember that no Slytherins stay. Yeah. That seems rough.
You know, we're trying to make it so it's not all bad, and then it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so they're organizing this, and in the meantime, back at the Room of Requirement, everybody and their brother is now here.
What? It's fun. And obviously it will become the last battle, but it's like no one quite knows that. They're just excited. Harry Potter's here. Maybe something cool is going to happen. Or they kind of know it, and Harry doesn't. Like, in his mind, I think it's just him and Voldemort. Not that there's going to be this other big battle.
Oh. Which would be rather naive, yeah. Harry. Yeah. Yeah, so then even Mr. and Mrs. Weasley are there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and again, it's Harry...
Lupin.
Yeah. But he's... I think doesn't give them enough credit of how all of this impacts their lives too and all they have been doing. Like, mm-hmm. he knows, oh, I have an important mission, but, oh, you've been getting tortured and standing up to people. Oh, I guess maybe you have some stake in this too.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's an argument with Jenny about that she shouldn't be there. She's underage.
By a year. They're very strict about this. That you are magically capable of making your own choices after your birthday.
Well, you have to draw a line somewhere, right? You're magically mature enough to drive at 16 and mature enough to vote at 18, you know.
Yes, but they seem very rigid about this.
Well, I mean, they eventually say you don't have to go home, but you got to stay in the Room of Requirement.
Which doesn't work out.
No, not so much.
Also, the Room of Requirement has to change in order for them to find the diadem.
Yes, but they don't know that yet.
Yeah, well, there's some comment, too, about kind of Neville has sort of figured out the room really well and tailored mm-hmm. it to them and their needs. And as long as someone is there, then it will be their safe haven.
And then, who in the world walks through the door?
I've forgotten about Percy. Because
he's here. We're all reconciled. Isn't it wonderful?
Kind of blubbering, but he has found his way back.
Yeah. Apparently he's realized that, maybe I'm on the wrong side here.
You know, but not everyone realizes that.
Yeah. But Percy's trip to the wrong side was a combination of ambition and entirely too much respect for authority.
Yes, that's a good description. No, he wasn't seeking evil or dominance. It was just sort of blindly trying to better himself, yeah, in something he respected.
Yeah. And then we notice, oh, wait, where are Ron and Hermione?
They're off in the bathroom.
They said something about a bathroom.
They're going to get the basilisk fang.
Shh, don't
That's
tell.
very clever of them.
It is very clever. But then the very last line of the chapter is Harry having the vision of Voldemort at the gates, literally of Hogwarts.
Yeah, see, that's when after this is gonna turn, it's gonna get ugly. We had our moment of like hope and people coming together.
Well, come on now. You read this the first time, it's all gonna work out,
Yeah,
right?
except all those people die.
Well, okay, and I was looking how many chapters we had left. And I noticed the name of the last chapter is called The Flaw in the Plan.
What?
I was like, if you hadn't read the book yet, you just get it and you read through the chapters, you see the last chapter is called The Flaw in the Plan.
Wait, what? Harry's gonna die.
Well, maybe it means that maybe it's referring to the flaw in Voldemort's plan. That's probably it, but I just I read it the other way. Anyway, what we will actually be reading for next time will be 31, 32, and 33, which are the
Oh
Battle
my.
of Hogwarts, the
Oh
Elder
boy.
Wand, and the Prince's Tale.
Oh,
That has to be
yes.
Snape. Oh
This is
man.
getting. Oh boy.
Yeah, and that this is this next time will be the second to last episode.
Okay. Also, I feel like we should point out, so our timing is pretty good because I believe it's the 2nd of May that we just passed the anniversary of the Battle of Hogwarts. And
Oh.
JK always on the Battle of Hogwarts apologizes for a series' death. And this year, she apologized for the death of Snape.
She picks someone to
She
apologize
does, she's
for?
been doing this for several years. And
I had no
she kind
idea.
of, I don't know what her tweet was, but there was like a trepidation in it, knowing it would cause an outcry. And it caused an outcry, and everyone's like, sorry, not sorry about Snape. He was also evil. Also, what about Hedwig? What about Dobby? What about all those people you could have been sorry about?
So people want her to be sorry in the
Yes.
correct order.
They were not as sorry about Snape.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll talk about how we feel about Snape's death next time. Yeah. And how do you feel about it now versus how you felt about
Yeah.
it then? But well, join us where we talk about that next time. In the meantime, you can follow us on Twitter at Weird Sisters Pod, and if you'd like to rate and review us on iTunes, that would be appreciated. And we'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.